I'm sorry, LIO ready? Good, good. We'll bring the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is 3:32 p.m. Date is Wednesday, February 15, 2006. Members present, Representative Crawford, Guttenberg, Representative Rookberg, and myself, Chairman Anderson. We do have a quorum today. We have a schedule of confirmations. Commissioner Bill Knoll is here. Billy Andrews is online. Gail Nemi is, I think, here. Not telephonic. Is she here? Oh, good. Hi. And we'll go through their confirmations. Shouldn't be too long. I don't think there are too many questions. And if you did, you probably could have asked the questions in advance of the meeting. But give you a few minutes to ask questions to the folks and let them give a presentation if they want to. Then we have HB 338. We'll get that out of the committee, Representative Chenault's bill, and then House Bill 402. And I don't see a big delay on that one either. Marriage Brokers and Advertisers, Representative Cotula. So we'll go first. Commissioner Bill Knoll's here. Bill, if you want to come on up, you're welcome to take a couple minutes, introduce yourself if you have any staff here, and then we'll get to questions and scoot you on your way.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I am Bill Knoll. I am Commissioner Designee of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. I am very pleased and, in fact, very honored to have been asked by Governor Murkowski to serve in this role, and I'm pleased to be here in front of you, prepared to ask any question or answer any questions that you might have. We are about 500 strong in the department. We have a very broad mandate, including commerce, such as insurance and banking and securities and so on, those elemental parts of making business work. Communities, meaning the role that the former Department of Community and Regional Affairs used to provide, about 45 people in that particular division nowadays, a very vital role. I think we get pretty good marks in that regard. And finally, economic development, which is the meat and potatoes of making things work so we can get more jobs on the street. So we're very, very happy. I have with me here Sally Sadler and Sam Thomas from the department, and would be pleased to take any questions that you might have.
Thanks, Commissioner. I just might add that on the record, I've never agreed with this process of bringing the commissioner into a standing committee and take up the time, and I don't want to take his or his staff's time up. So I'll give some latitude to ask some questions, but Representative Kelly, Mike Kelly from Fairbanks, I think oversees the subcommittee, there's a ton of information and divisional layouts and budget and all those informational things you might want to look at if you want to contact Representative Kelly. Otherwise, if there's some general questions, we'll go now. Representative Rookberg, I'm sure, has something. Representative Rookberg. Spinard.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's very appropriate for the commission to come before this committee because we're the oversight committee under the statute, too, and we have the advice and consent on the floor of the House. So.
Thank you for your input. Do you have a question for the commissioner?
Well, I'm glad to see him here. He's done a great job. He's got a great resume, a good work experience, and let's keep those people employed and the economic development cooking.
I have a question. Yeah. What about the economy?
As a matter of fact. So good leader. Thank you.
You oversee that a little bit.
Rookberg. Well, we do our part. Sometimes you get lucky. High oil prices have helped enormously, obviously. But in almost every sector of the economy, that natural resources, things are up. And that's something that could lend a note of optimism to some of the problems we have, say, in rural energy. The other side of that coin is business is very, very good. Mining is up. Fishing is way up. Tourism is up. Even an incipient timber industry, we're trying to put together a little bit of a better industry there. But yesterday, as a matter of fact, our export numbers for the year 2005 came in. They will read, and there'll be a press release here later on this week or early next, $3.6 billion of exports in 2005. There was $3.2 billion in 2004, so a significant increase. Of that $3.6 billion, $2 billion is fish. That number in 2004 was $1.7 billion. And by the way, that number in 1998 for fish was $700 million. We've seen a tremendous comeback in the fish area. It's an area that we have concentrated on in this administration. We had that $50 million from the delegation that we allocated into marketing and value-added capital equipment and so on, and it is taking. We're very pleased. In the Bristol Bay area, for example, I asked this question this morning of Greg Winnegar. Great duress, as you well, I know you're all long-time public service. Tremendous duress. This isn't just numbers. It was families and people and communities. When Governor Murkowski took office, you could have bought a Bishop Bay permit for about $14,000. We sat on those, and frankly, we dragged our feet when banks were after them and so on, and we kind of slow-rolled it and tried to inventory them and house them and let our program take place. We were very active in trying to improve the scenario. Those permits today, $80,000. So we have done up. I think it's remarkable. It's wonderful for those families there who may want to sell something or may have to have that kind of equity instead of $14,000. So in 2006, we intend, Mr. Chairman, to continue the push in the fish area and cement that as a big employer. So things are going well. Thanks for asking.
That's a great answer. Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When you said that, I think you said the $3.6 billion is
exports.
Exports.
In 2005.
And that would have to exclude oil and gas, wouldn't it?
It excludes oil because we don't export any oil. It would include such gas as LNG exports. That's about $200 million if my numbers are right. And I'd have to get that breakdown, frankly. I can get it back to you.
Okay, but
it does include the LNG exports.
That's exports to foreign countries.
That exclusively, those LNG goes to Tokyo Electric.
No, I'm talking about the total exports that you're talking about. That's all exports to outside the country.
Correct, not to the lower 48.
Okay.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
What's our gross product?
Our gross state product is around $33 billion.
Okay. Thank you.
It's pretty big.
That is. Any other questions? I might add, Representative Roper, if you enjoy departmental and divisional overviews, you can join the HES committee, where literally we have one every meeting, because God forbid we pass out bills from that committee.
You'd be happy to hear, Mr. Chairman, that I was at the subcommittee for Department of Health and Social Services this morning at 7 a.m.
Wonderful.
I was there.
I'm also on that committee. You can apprise me of what happened at 7 a.m. later. Okay, thanks, Bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
We're good to go.
Josh, do we have a form we have to do with the commissioner? We're good. Okay, so why don't you hand me those ones and then I'll read them.
We'll do it all.
Okay, at the end. Okay.
Yeah, you listen to what he says.
Yeah, I do. Believe me. Billy Andrews, are you online for nominee for the ABC board?
Yes.
Hi. Why don't you introduce yourself? Just how about in just 2 minutes, you can go over real quick your background, and then we'll see if there are any questions.
Hey, my name is Billy Andrews. I'm up for reappointment to the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. So I've been reappointed by the governor and awaiting confirmation hearing. I grew up in the state of Colorado as a cowboy, a logger, and a miner. Then I decided to get an education, got a degree in accounting, joined the FBI as a special agent. Came to Alaska in 1974, worked in the FBI office in Anchorage. Did all kinds of white-collar crime investigations and those kinds of things. I worked drugs. And then I moved on to the state of Alaska. I worked in the Alaska Police Standards Council for about 18 months, and then I left there and came over to BP. And at BP, I'm the security manager, and I have responsibility for protecting BP's Alaska assets, which includes the North Slope oil fields. How's that?
Great. That's perfect. Nice and concise. Any questions for Mr. Andrews as a reappointee, Representative Roper?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Andrews, I understand at the last ABC meeting that the board turned down a license application from a licensee, or I guess prospective licensee from Valdez. Could you explain to the committee the fact pattern there and why that was done by the board?
Yes, we reviewed that applicant's background, and he had several arrests for DUI. He had, as I recall, there was a couple of arrests for, I believe, domestic violence. And when we questioned him, hadn't attended any rehab programs for alcohol, nor had he attended any anger management. He had been to church, and that's about it. He would, I recall, is that he was cooking at the establishment in Valdez. He had been removed from the license, but he wanted to, he wanted his wife to run the business, but we felt that he would continue as part of the management of that business. And we felt with his criminal background, we wouldn't allow that.
Was this a license renewal, sir? Or an application for a new license or transfer?
I think it was for a license renewal.
And do you recall what the last time he had any criminal offense or charge?
Sure. It had been a while back, and it seems like it was about 85, I'm guessing.
How about 10 years?
Well, 95, that's pretty close. I'm not sure exactly because I don't have the record in front of me.
Well, it's pretty significant. As the ABC board, your quasi-judicial committee, and the meting out of decisions has an impact on businesses. So I guess the issue was brought to my attention, so I am concerned about that. Additionally, did not the board at the last meeting met out punishment to the Hacienda restaurant in Anchorage for serving a minor and prohibit the sales of alcohol on premises for 15 days, when in fact the business has been owned by a family for 38 years with no prior offenses? Is that correct?
That's correct. And my recommendation to the board, or at least my vote, was to give them 30 days.
But did he have any prior offenses?
None.
And was the offense a result of a federally funded sting operation?
Pat, I don't know where the funding came for the person. He actually sold alcohol to a minor. Right. And in my opinion, in representing the public, this is something we absolutely won't tolerate. And he is the owner of the business. All he had to do was ask the minor for some identification. He didn't do that. And I felt that 15 days wasn't a sufficient sentence. But I was overruled.
What did you take testimony about the impact on his business and how many employees he had and whether that would essentially run him out of business?
We heard from, I don't think any of his employees testified, but he testified, very nice gentleman, and he explained that wouldn't run him out of business, and he could sustain 15 days. We did allow him to serve food during that 15 days.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Billy. We didn't mean to put you on the spot here. I think these are appropriate questions, but I realize you might not have been prepared for some of them. I think you answered them appropriately. To that end, Representative Roper's kind of got into a category that I had also a question on, and that is, I won't mention names either, but there was a gentleman, and I know that he runs a company, a coffee company, and they were looking into expanding their temporary permit downtown Anchorage to continue serving wine and beer in their coffee shop. And there was a question on whether or not they fit under the statutory parameter of a food service establishment. Do you know if any of your folks or the ABC staff are looking at that, looking into a compromise, or has he brought anything up? He called me months ago, and I haven't really followed up on it, but I thought it was an intriguing idea. I know in Europe and other places they do that, and he was doing that and thought that he was serving food in the appropriate way. Of course, folks from the industry protested, fearing that their claim was that their food and beverage, their dispensary license would be diminished in value, and I don't know if I agree with that. People will go to where they want to, you know, patronize, regardless of the restaurant, if they like the ambiance or the food or the drink, in my opinion. Have you guys worked on that, or has there been any subject matter on that lately?
Chairman Anderson, yes, there has. And in fact, we expected more testimony during our last meeting in Juneau, but it was not forthcoming. I understand that the ABC board director, Doug Griffin, did meet with the CHAR group, and they had passed some recommendations on to Doug, basically following some law that came out of Washington. Maybe it could be applicable. Basically, I think it's pretty much under legal review, and I expect it to come before the board during our next meeting.
Okay, great. Any other questions?
But it is on the agenda.
Okay, no, I just had an interest, and I appreciate the response. Representative Roefberg?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to thank Mr. Andrews for his service to the state, and don't take offense to any questions you might have heard from this committee, and thank you very much for your service, sir.
Appreciate it, and I even appreciate the questions.
No, oh, thank you, Mr. Andrews. You have a really impressive resume, and the law enforcement background, I think, helps with insight on the board. So no other questions. Your name will be forwarded on here at the end of the meeting. And the final person, Gail, if you want to come up.
I'm excused, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, you can cruise on. We'll forward your name. State your name for the record, and then you can tell us your background.
I am Gail Nemi, and I am the industry representative for the ABC board. I have sat 3 years on the board. I was born and raised in Juneau, and I have been in the industry here since the early 80s. And I would like to address some of your questions if I could also.
And before you do that, that's a perfect intro. Other than what establishments do you as the industry rep?
My husband and I have the sandbar here in Juneau.
Great, okay.
In the kitchen, great fish and chips.
Yeah. Yep. Great. Representative Roefberg, you want to address? You know the questions, so do you want to address just as a fellow board member?
I would. The man that had the Mexican food restaurant that had never had any violations in 38 years, the girl that he served was 15. There was pictures. She obviously looked 15. That was what our issue on that specific one was. 15. The Kaladi brothers.
We thought it was a close issue. Then all the audience is going, ooh.
Well, that's what the two industry reps
the mailbox,
did. Is we went, ooh, you know. And he was a wonderful gentleman, and he, I really feel for him. But he, as the owner, gave the 15-year-old girl the beer.
Mr. Chairman, can I just interrupt there? Typically, with your experience, what is the normal punishment for a first offense serving a minor, typically? Is it very?
I had never, in my 3 years on the board, I have never seen a serving a minor issue come before the board. When it's a regular sting, when they catch the employees, they're just cited through the ABC board. But the reason that these two came, there was two of them that came before,
holder.
Was the licensee himself.
Right.
Was the one who served the underage person. And those are the only two that I've seen before the board.
Okay, thank you.
Kaladi?
The Kaladi brothers one, the concern on that one was that, and they are negotiating on it, they are working on it. We did expect them to be at the last meeting. We do expect them to be at the next one. The concern is not only the price of the liquor license, but the concern is that it's a slippery slope and they don't want tavern licenses. And the food that the Kaladi brothers were offering was cold hors d'oeuvres and things like this. And the statutes themselves read that it beer and wine licenses are given out when the purpose of the person coming in there is for food. And whereas that is an intriguing idea, and I would like to see Anchorage have something like that, there will need to be different guidelines for it to go under, you know, because I don't think the state of Alaska wants tavern licenses.
Sure. And I appreciate that. I just so folks in the audience and listening understand that Kaladi Brothers had a cafe or restaurant downtown. It was by the Performing Arts Center, and they were given a temporary permit sell just a few special beer and wines. And it was great because I've never patronized there, but people could go in. And the fear from some of the bar owners, I think, was unwarranted in that, you know, people going to the Gaslight or the Avenue are not going to say, hey, now we have the option of this upscale, yuppie, you know, beer and wine establishment. Let's leave this far and go there. I really doubt that. But your point is well taken on the slippery slope and on the definition statute. And I know Representative Roefberg has some history with tavern licenses and with all those. So you probably agree with the ABC board to keep studying it, the legality of it.
No, I think the only issue there is probably a clarification of what defines a meal, because I think there's a menu review provision in the statute, but no definition of what constitutes a meal. Is that right, Ms. Neenan?
The definition that they were concerned about was the purpose for you going in there was to have food.
Mm-hmm.
And so right. I don't know how that one's going to come down. The third one with the gentleman in Valdez, he did have over 10 years. Both of the industry representatives voted that he should have his license, that he should be able to have his license, because I think that 10 years is a really good amount of time. But it was only the industry representatives that voted that he should have his license.
Mr. Chairman, your testimony was whatever offenses he had historically had happened over, there had been no other offenses in a 10-year period?
He had an on by in 1995, and in 1997 he had a child support payment issue. And that was the only thing that he had had since. And between 1990 and 1995, his one envoy was his only issue. And aside from the child support thing. And he had been 10 years. It's really a hard industry. And he, working on it day to day and managing it, I mean, I thought the guy, after 10 years, I thought that the guy should have been able to have it.
Well, as I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, it was his wife applying as a licensee and not the individual?
He went before the board at one of the last, maybe not the last meeting, but the meeting before, for it to be transferred to him, and they denied that transfer. And so then he resubmitted it under a corporation with his wife, being the active manager, and he was cooking in the kitchen. And he was turned down that second time also.
Okay.
And one other thing here. The Speaker of the House wrote a very nice letter, said he had known him for quite some time. And one of the things that was recommended to me was that, and this doesn't have anything to do with you guys, but if he could get, say, the chief of police or the law enforcement of Valdez to write a letter for him in his behalf, that might have more impact on the members of the ABC board.
Representative Roper.
Well, it's interesting to note that you just mentioned a letter from the speaker in his behalf, but do you have any opinions about having two members with either law enforcement or law enforcement background of two of the five members on the board?
I think that the law enforcement on the board is extremely valuable, and I think that I think we definitely need law enforcement on the board. Definitely, they have such a practical experience as to how issues really go. I think they're very, very valuable. We have two new board members. Billy Andrews has sat with me on the board for 3 years, and we have two new board members now. I think they're a trifle stern.
Mr. Chairman, let me just withdraw the question. That was maybe not. I didn't want to put you on the spot. So.
The fifth board member is an attorney, William mm-hmm. Tull. He is doing a wonderful job. He does seem to side with law enforcement as opposed to industry reps. Shirley Gifford, the new lady, is so knowledgeable. I really think that she is going to be one of the best members I've ever served with. I don't know. The only thing that I thought was a trifle heavy-handed was the gentleman in Valdez. The rest of it I agreed with. The rest of them were pretty much unanimous.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. You're really thoughtful. Mm-hmm. I think you sounds like you really study the issues. Representative Guttenberg?
Yeah, I just want to thank you because it seems pretty obvious that you put a lot into this and your deliberations and balancing all the concerns and just thank you for serving.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's really interesting. I think that we would have a better government if lots of little people helped you guys out.
We agree. Thank you very much. Well, then what I'm going to do, Gail is done, so I'm going to read all these names for the committee, and you understand that for each I'll state that we've reviewed the qualifications of these governor's appointees and recommend that their names be forwarded to the joint session for consideration. And remember that when you sign this document, it doesn't reflect intent by any of you to vote for or against these individuals during the session for the purposes of confirmation. Commissioner, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Bill Knoll. Alcohol Beverage Control Board, Gail Mimi. Alcohol Beverage Control Board, Billy Andrews, who you just heard from. State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, Charles Leet. Occupational Safety and Health Review Board, Timothy Sharp. Occupational Safety and Health Review Board, Thomas Trosvig, Kodiak. Board of Veterans Examiners, Stephen Torrance, Juno. And that's it. So I'll pass these around. Now we'll get on to legislation, House Bill 338. Representative Lynn?
I don't hear the last one. Should I not sign them all?
No, you sign them all.
You know I was not here.
Yeah, that's okay. You were here in time. You're good.
Everybody.
Yep. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you heard, as long as you're in attendance during the passage of the document. Okay, we have House Bill 338. And did you want to come on up? Or who's?
Yeah.
Well, I have to have someone just state the status of where we're at. You know the drill? Name for the record, and then maybe just give us an update because we've held it for a few weeks.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for hearing this bill again. For the record, my name is Lelania Snyder, staff to Representative Chenault. HB 338 has been held in committee. I think there were a few issues being worked out, and Representative Crawford also had an amendment. A blank CS has been given to the members, I believe, and that's where we're at.
Okay. Well, then I will go to Representative Crawford. Is that the CS that you have, version G? So do you want to move that, and then we can talk about it for discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move version G of House Bill 338. CS House Bill for number 338.
Before the committee for discussion purposes, so move, no objections, so version G is in front of us. Why don't you just go through what the changes were, and then we'll move the bill out, because that's the reason I held it. I thought folks from labor had some concerns, and so we wanted to get those worked out.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if that was so much concerns from labor as it was concerns from me that I didn't want to see the default point being a felony in the last 10 years, whether you could get a certificate of fitness to be a blaster or not.
Okay.
I didn't think that was right. I didn't think that really got to the crux of what the department stated they wanted to do here. And what we have here now is the ability for the department to look up applicant's fingerprints and check to see if they may be on a terrorist list. It also gives the department the ability to check and see if the I'll just read it. Section 4 under B, the department shall establish in regulation standards of competency based on training, experience, criminal history, background checks, and physical fitness for the issuance of a certificate of fitness. I believe that takes into consideration all the concerns of the department and gets to the crux of the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Copper. We have Tom Bryce here from Laborers to suppose endorse the bill. We have Representative Ethan Berkowitz here smiling from the door with no comments on the bill.
Section 4 area where you change
right here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. My name is Tom Bryce. I represent the Alaska District Council of Laborers. We're the union that represents a lot of blasters. A number of our members are blasters. Just want to express our appreciation to the chair and to the committee, as well as Department of Labor, working with us on addressing some of the issues and questions that we had regarding what their proposal was, and we're in support of the legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rice. Any questions for Representative Crawford or Representative Chenault's staff? I figure Representative Roper.
Is somebody from the Department of Labor?
Yep. Gray's here. If you have any questions.
I do.
I wasn't going to call him up unless you did. Gray Mitchell.
Gray Mitchell, Director, Division of Labor Standards and Safety.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Mitchell, with this new language of Section 4, it's taken over, it's taken out a specific criteria and replaced it with your regulation rulemaking powers. So what's the Department of Labor going to do about setting a threshold for denial of a license?
Through the chair, Representative Roekberg, we've been working with individuals in the industry to try and establish regulatory standards right now. And really, this provision gives us the ability to include all of the affected parties in the discussion when we're establishing what the standards need to be.
So if you wanted to put a conviction of a felony in the past 10 years in the regulations, you could do that.
That's true.
So, is that okay, Harry?
No, it's not okay with me.
That's
but
why I brought it up.
Right, I understand, and I had assurances that wasn't what they were going to use as a benchmark.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to put that in the record, and unless there's anything you want to tell the committee to assure us, give us a little more comfort about what you believe the nature of those regulations are going to look like.
Through the chair, Representative Roekberg, I think that we've got some pretty good guidelines that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has established,
right.
And so we've got a good framework to start with, and I think that we'll end up with some good guidelines using the industry information that we'll get during the regulation process.
Good. Cliff is just while Grace here. Is Cliff here? Cliff, who's that online? Are you online?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any comments?
No, I don't. I think this will, I guess my only comment would be that I think these regulations will address any concerns.
And you're with the Department of Labor, correct?
Yes, I am.
In what position?
I'm the Chief of Consultation and Training
okay.
for State OSHA.
I knew that. I just wanted to do it for the record. Okay,
okay,
perfect. Any other questions, Representative Lynn?
I do have some concerns. So you would do regulations to cover the concerns that were expressed in Version A, is that correct?
Through the chair, that's correct, Representative Lynn.
And so it may or may not include the felony within 10 years, right?
That's correct.
What would it be then? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15? You must have a point in mind. Would it just be flexible according to the person involved?
Through the chair,
using other factors, perhaps, other than just the plain felony arrest?
Through the chair, so far, I think where we're headed is, we're not going to have a specific time frame that we're looking at. I think we'll have the ability to look at certain types of felonies, and that was the complicating factor in trying to narrow down in statutory language which felonies might create a problem. That, there might be some felonies that, 10 years might be not enough time. You might go back 20 years for certain felonies. So, I think it gives us some more ability to come up to have some flexibility to protect public safety, in a complete way.
I guess I ask you, what kind of a felony reflects a responsible individual?
Through the chair, basically felonies that involve violence against individuals or property is kind of the general framework that we're looking at.
You mean versus like saying years ago, if you guided without a license for 2 years, remember the guy who used to call all the legislative offices, Bruno Zedler? He got a felony for just a one-year time period when you couldn't hunt without a license. It's not funny. And then now it's a misdemeanor again, but it's things like that, felonies where, I mean, it's not like a rape or a murder.
That's
there's
great.
A difference.
The assurance I want to have on record is that you're going to look very, very carefully at this, because I have a problem with any kind of a felony, because they all indicate some kind of irresponsibility on something covered under felony law. It's a very, very serious thing. And I hate to get in the position of mirror, mirror on wall, what's the most serious felony of them all, the least serious felony of them all. So I'm very concerned that you lay down very strict regulations on this to cover the issues.
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Lynn. We'll keep that in mind.
Good. Can I have a motion, Representative Lynn, to move the bill? It's your bill. Well done.
Thank you very much. I will move House Bill 338. I'll get the right version here.
Version G,
with individual recommendations on it, with the provision that the department will issue good regulations on this. Sensible regulation.
And any fiscal notes,
Josh? And any fiscal notes.
And 2-0 fiscal notes. Okay. Any objection? Hearing none, so moved. Thank you, Gray, for your time. I know you had to sit here through these meetings waiting. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. And next we'll go to Representative Curtula's bill, and then we'll be done for the day. House Bill 402, Marriage Brokers and Advertisers.
Do you have the music from Fiddler on the Roof?
That's right. The Honorable Beth Curtula is here. All rise.
I could try to hum it, but...
Were we not going to schedule this for Valentine's Day? Or?
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members. Thanks for hearing the bill. House Bill 402 is an attempt to deal with the growing trade of marriage brokers. Many of you, I know, remember the human trafficking bill that we worked on last session, and this practice is becoming more and more referred to as bride trafficking. But in essence, the bill is a step toward trying to deal with giving mostly women from other countries who are being matched with Americans information that any of us would, you know, consider, I think, very important before we entered into a marriage. Things like criminal history, numbers of times someone has been married, and how that they can seek information once they get to our country. Unfortunately, it's growing statistically that we've got between 8 and 16,000 marriages a year taking place in this matter with marriage brokers. And one study found the rate of domestic violence in these unions to be as high as 77%. My office had a case of this last session. We worked with a woman who was in this particular situation, and we have people from Ware here from the local shelter who can speak to this. We've also gotten a few anonymous calls from women who said that they were in this particular situation. There's a growing number of states who have already passed laws on this. We tried to work largely with the Model Act and Washington State's law, and there's a national act that's just been gone. It's not in effect yet, but it's going into effect, which specifically doesn't preempt the states from taking action. So with that, we'd be happy to have you hear some of the other witnesses, and we'll stick around for questions. We do have some changes that we think probably will need to be made to the bill before it moves.
I just had a horrible experience. I was looking on accident at HB 338, and it says applying for an issuance of a certificate assuming marriage, and it says you need fingerprints and a criminal background. And I was about to say you really want that for a marriage license,
well,
but wrong bill, 402. So questions for 402.
So basically, if any of us use the services of a marriage broker, we want to know what kind of a person we intend to enter this legal relationship.
That's right.
Where the kind of informed consent type of thing.
That's right. Thank you. For the chair, that's exactly giving good. Minimal information to women from foreign countries, don't speak this language, have no other contacts, can get taken to isolated places or not so isolated because they're isolated to begin with, and who all of a sudden wind up in not the marriage that they thought they should be in.
In favor of informed consent.
Good. Okay. Representative Roberg, and then we'll get to the folks that want to testify.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just had an opportunity to do a cursory read of the bill, but I want to focus on page 3, the definition of a marriage broker or advertiser. Or indicates that.
What line is that?
Well, I'm looking
page
at.
Page 3, line 22.
Yeah. Right, where it indicates that not only are we talking about what's contained in the substance of the bill, it also includes services relating to marriage, engagement, dating, and other social referrals. So there's a number of dating services or e-harmonies or whatever. There's a number of e-services, matching
AOL,
stuff.
All of those.
It seems as if you're throwing a net out here that's very wide without any other constraint here. Is it the intention of the sponsor that this legislation includes those services under the same requirements? Seems awful kind of onerous, if you ask me. I don't know.
And I would add, Representative Cotullo, like last night we had Dr. Phil show on, and he apparently works with Match.com. That's where I know of that one. So, I mean, seriously, if there's Match.com in Alaska, someone professional wants to put their name in Match.com to date someone because they're busy, let's say, and have a good rationale, then they would have to give all this information. And I think the marriage broker, there's a big difference between that and Match.com.
We followed the model suggestion on this, so I'd be happy to take another look at that and to also talk to the experts. I think, though, again, it's only dealing with women outside of the U.S., so we're looking at problem being with women who have limited, if any, English.
Well, that's not what this says here, though. Does it?
Yeah, it relates back to dealing with recruits, with dealing with women from foreign countries, and that was the intent. So I will take a look and be sure that that's how it wound up being written.
And we'll keep going. Any other questions right now? We have time. Okay. If you want to stand by, folks, you bet, in the audience. First, I know we have Kathy from the Department of Public Safety to answer questions, and then we also have Dave Brower from, he's Assistant AG in the, I don't remember what section he's in. That's right, commercial. I knew that. Okay, I'm looking at the acronym here. He's here for questions. The only person that wants to actually testify is Sarilyn. So come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You bet.
Thank you, committee.
Welcome.
I'm Sarilyn Tabachnik, the Executive Director of AWARE, Aiding Women in Abuse and Rape Emergencies here in Juneau. I am here to speak in support of House Bill 402. It serves to protect the safety and well-being of foreign brides, to prevent abusive U.S. citizens from enticing foreign women into abusive relationships, and ultimately to promote safe and healthy marriages. In the past year, our AWARE staff has worked intensely with two women who came to Alaska, to Juneau, as foreign brides, and within a couple years, both experienced domestic violence from their husbands. These women are extremely vulnerable, have limited English language skills, and are without other resources in the United States, and they're unfamiliar with the United States legal system. These are complex issues for battered immigrant women who fear for their and their children's safety and immigration status, particularly when their only source of information is their abusive husband. Under this bill, foreign brides will receive in their native language the marital history of their potential spouse, a criminal history record check, including incidents of civil protective orders, explanations regarding marriage-based immigration status, and information about domestic violence and appropriate interventions. I don't have enough information to say whether or not the women served by AWARE could have avoided violent relationships were this bill in place. However, they certainly would have been aware of the resources available to them sooner. And providing foreign brides with information they need and deserve, and holding international marriage brokers to a standard of safety and accountability are critical components for safety. Within the United States, the Federal Violence Against Women Act of 2005 addresses international marriage brokers and concerns for safety and access to information for foreign brides. I'm hopeful that the Alaska legislature will move forward with similar legislation this session.
Yes, Representative Lynn, thank you.
I think this is an excellent concept. I strongly support the concept here. Now, at what point, if an overseas potential bride contacts one of these people, picks out a potential spouse, at what point do they get this piece of paper with all this needed information on it? Before they leave the foreign country, after they arrive in the United States?
As I understand it, before they leave the country.
Okay, is it?
Sort of.
Representative Lynn?
Yeah, is there a proof of, you know, that they've looked at this thing? Because it'll be in their own language. It'd be, if they move here from Russia or China or someplace, they will get it over there and have a chance to look at it in their own language.
Right.
And then decide if they want to make the trip or not to come here to consummate the marriage.
That's my understanding.
And there'll be some kind of proof of receipt.
That I'm not sure of.
I see your great
shaking. Representative Curtula.
Through the chair, they're going to be provided the information. So, yeah, they would have to be sure that the recruit is what the term was, received it.
Yeah, so make sure that it did actually receive it, because mail service is not that great here, but you get overseas, it can be very problematic whether they would get this thing or not, and some of them may not be able to read even in their own language.
Right, return receipt requested.
Yeah, yeah. It's something of that nature.
Yeah.
Is that in the bill? I should know that.
We might need to add that. I'm not sure. It does say it has to be provided, so it signifies that you've got to be sure it's provided.
Excellent.
And Representative Curtula, that last, what is it, page 3 of version G, on line 30, section 2, AS 12, 62-400 is amended, and then it adds subsection 14. Which one is that? Sorry.
Hang on a minute, Mr. Chair. Bills.
What's the
section? Yeah, thanks. And
I never
you're
know.
Referring to the draft CS then, which hasn't been adopted yet, but we'd be happy to
look at it. Oh, it hasn't been adopted. Okay, then I'll move for discussion purposes CS for House Bill 402, version G, before the committee. So hearing no objection, that's before us for the dialogue.
And could you tell us again?
Yeah, page 3, line 30, it adds a new paragraph, and it has a subsection 14, a position involving marriage, brokering, or advertising, or dating, or social referral services.
Can you deal with that one,
Chairman Anderson, this is Hannah McCarty, staff to Representative Curtula. This was a change made by recommendation of David Brower, the Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General. And what it does is, in section 1B, when we refer to on page 2, lines 18 through 24, we refer to the Department of Public Safety submitting fingerprints to the Federal Bureau of Investigation for a National Criminal History Record Check. Mr. Brower recommended that we add a section that adds to the list of statutes under which this history can be obtained, that we add to that list the marriage broker reference.
I caught that. No, I'm sorry. I missed that in the second page.
If I might, to go back to an earlier question from the rules chair, I think the rules chair is right that it's a little bit unclear on when we're going to require it. I mean, the bill is written with the intent that this be required to other nations, people who are going through these services. So I think that the bill does need to be a little bit clearer that that's the requirement.
But
not,
what I'd like to do to help you with the bill, Representative Curtula, we don't have a meeting Friday. There's a holiday Monday. The next meeting would be a week from now. And with limited time, do you think you could work on that to make sure? And then I'm debating whether to hold a bill or to move it on and then have it fixed for the next committee.
It's really up to you. There's another change that I think is really worthwhile, and that is presently this bill is in occupational licensing, and it's kind of an unwieldy fit. And I think that there may better be moved to the domestic violence statutes. The Assistant Attorney General had just mentioned that. I think he's right. So I think if you just keep the bill here, we'll
How
make
about
those
revise
changes.
It with those two changes to make sure that it only applies in what Representative Roper was getting at on page 3. If you look at the definition of marriage, broker, or advertiser, lines 22 to 25, it doesn't state what it does in lines 20, basically subsection 3. Marriage, broker, and advertiser, when you look at that definition compared to recruit, the definition of recruit, in recruit, it references outside of the United States, that first line, line 26. But in lines 22 through 25, it doesn't reference out of state. So he's getting at, hey, make sure it's
right, and as well,
RussianLadies.com, not Match.com.
Right, and as well, the language in the very beginning of the bill, when it discusses who the information is provided to, it's only to the recruit. But what's not clear is you might wind up, if you do both, requiring it from all of the U.S. matches, and that wasn't the intent of the legislation.
Okay.
We women in the United States are pretty able, I think, to get the information
from it. We all, it looks like, support it in concept. Would love to have you refine it, and we'll
Thank you.
get it out of this committee next Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
With high accolades. Thanks for waiting so long. Thank you, too, for coming. And thank you to the Attorney General, Deputy, for coming. And if you don't have any comments, we're good at this stage. Okay, thanks for your attendance. Then we are done with that, Bill, and we'll hold it. And remind folks that within 1 week, we'll have another meeting, the 21st. So we'll adjourn now at 4:22.